Well, if you have your Bible, please do turn back to the passage that we read as we meditate upon this morning before we sing, before we come to the Lord's table, Romans chapter 6. We had just flown back from Entebbe in Uganda, and we're waiting in Amsterdam airport, lovely airport in Amsterdam, having had a very welcome cup of coffee, and looked out the window, and that's what I saw. New beginnings, here I come. And I thought to myself, well, really, I should have seen that 10 days ago, because when we were on the way to New Beginnings, and I'm not exactly sure what it was referring to, all sorts of new beginnings, but I took that photograph. And actually, at that point, I thought about not only new beginnings, but I thought about how in the Bible the concept of new beginnings and all things becoming new is a very strong thread that runs through the whole of the Scriptures. Right at the very end of the Bible, in Revelation 21, the Lord says, "Behold, I am making all things new." And that is a wonderful promise. Right at the very end of Scripture, of what will ultimately be, that God is making all things new in Christ. In Christ. And it's only what's in Christ that is made new. The story of Scripture and the story of God's redemption is indeed the story, literally, of God renewing paradise lost. God did make things new, but paradise was lost in the fall. But God is making all things new again in Christ. And there are various themes that we could follow. We could think this morning of the new birth and the new creation. We could think about the new hope that the believer has in this despairing world. We could think about the new family that we are brought into in Christ. We could think about the new purpose that the Christian man or woman or young person has day by day as they seek to live for Jesus. We could think about the new heavens and the new earth which are yet before us. But this morning, as we come to the Lord's table, I want us just for a little time to think about this new life that in Christ we are brought into. And in many ways, our text this morning is, you may have guessed, Romans 6 and verse 11, where the apostle says, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." And that is our text this morning. And I want us to think about that. And just as we begin, I do want just to draw your attention to what a colleague of mine just said a few years ago. And let me just read this to you. David said this: "The major cause of instability and discouragement in the lives of the Christians I have met is simple ignorance of their position in Christ. They do not know the truth of the relationship God has brought them into with himself through union with Christ. Hence, they are at the mercy of their subjective feelings and failings and are blown to and fro like a ship without an anchor." Now, this is a fishing community. You know, some of you, maybe only too well, what it would be like to be in a boat without an anchor. And what it would be like to be in a boat without an anchor and a stabilizing force in the midst of the storms and the winds of life. You would be at the mercy of the winds and the storms, and you would literally be blown hither and thither around the place. You wouldn't know where you were at. And you know, sadly, that is the way some Christians can be. That is the way maybe many of us at times can be. We are blown to and fro. Sometimes we're going on really well, and other times it's a bit of a disaster. And what can be the problem? Well, the problem often can be that we are not secure in our primary identity in Jesus. We are not solid and secure in our knowledge that we are safe in Him. Remember this, brother and sister in Christ. To be a Christian is to be simply united to Christ. It's to be in union with Him. When God, by His Spirit, does a work awakening us and bringing us to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, something extraordinary happens. We are united to Christ. And we're not going to do it now, but if you were to read through the writings in the New Testament, for example, the number of times that the Apostle Paul speaks about being in Christ or united to Christ, in Him, it's a very large number, actually. So grasp that this morning, believer. You are united to Christ. If you are truly converted. And to be a Christian is also to live in a different way. How can we be united to Jesus and continue the way that we once were? And that is basically what Paul is teaching in this part of Romans, in chapter 6. In some ways, the very first verse of chapter 6 gives us a good clue as to what's going on. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Have you ever thought that? Of course you have. Well, look, I'm saved, so I'll just kind of do what I want to do here. I know it's probably not the right thing, but then I'll ask for forgiveness. And that's a very dangerous place to be, because at that point we are making grace cheap. We are making the forgiveness that Christ bought for us something cheap and trivial. Christ died for your sin. Christ was crucified for your iniquities. Are you going to trivialize it? I trust not. And so the Apostle Paul says, yes, this is how you're being tempted to think, but you mustn't think that way. Because you have actually died to that old way of life. You're not perfect. He's not suggesting they never, ever sin. But he is saying, look, something has happened. Something has changed. Count yourselves dead to that way of life. That was the way you once lived. Of course it was. But you're now dead to that. And you're alive to something new. So that's really what our focus is this morning. First of all, you are dead to sin. Does this mean that you and I as Christians are immune to sin? No. Does it mean that we are never tempted to sin? No. Does it mean that we do not sin? No. The answer to all those things is that we do sin, sadly. That we do give in to temptation. That we do give in to the things that we know are not right. But what Paul is teaching here is that if we are truly converted, if we are truly believers and saved by the grace of God, there will at the very least be a real struggle going on. You will not easily sin. You will not with a clear conscience sin. You will not say, well, that's not really that important. I'll just pray a wee prayer and it'll be sorted out. You'll not go down that road. You will be troubled. You will feel that pull, that tug of war. You will wrestle with these things. You will not always succeed, but you will at least wrestle with these things. Let me use this illustration. Can a married man live as if he's a single man? I suppose he could. It's not impossible. But let him glance down to his left hand and his fourth finger, and he will see something that calls him back. He will see a ring. And that ring will remind him of a position once taken. That ring will remind him of vows once publicly declared in the presence of God and of a congregation. To love his wife, to be faithful to his wife, to live a certain way. And all of those things will call him back to what he is. And you know, folks, in the very same way, we could say this. Can a Christian, born of God, saved by grace, continue to live in their sins? Well, yes, I suppose it's possible. But let them remember that time, that place, where they, by the grace of God, took a vow to the Lord to live for Jesus, to renounce their sins, to repent of their sins. Let them remember that, and it will call us back from such a life. And that, in many, many ways, captures what Paul is saying here in Romans chapter 6. He says, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus, you are dead to that way of life. You mustn't go back down that road again. Because, and he has spoken earlier in the passage of how many of them were baptized into Christ. And they died to an old way of life. And that is so true for us here this morning. Brother and sister, remember this as you step out into this new week. You are dead to sin. You will struggle with it, but you're dead to it. Remember who you are. You're a believing Christian. Believing Christians don't talk that way. They don't tell those sort of jokes. They don't laugh at that sort of stuff. They don't do the dodgy thing. They're different. We're not perfect. Far from it. You're dead to sin. And the other side of the coin is you're alive to God. David Couples goes on to say, it's not on the screen. He says, we need to know who we are and where we stand, what God has done, is doing and has promised to do. This knowledge is the firm foundation upon which a strong and mature Christian life can be built. Brother and sister, what I'm trying to say this morning is this. Be secure in what God has done in your life and what God is doing in your life and what God will still do in your life as you open your heart to him day by day. See, God is not finished with you. Praise God. God is not finished with any of us. And there are further heights to be climbed and maybe valleys to be descended. But there is still the journey to be taken. Remember, brother and sister, this morning, you have been justified. You have been saved, you have been redeemed, you have been reconciled to God. You've been adopted into his family. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Any one of those things is extraordinary. Think about that. We all know the story, don't we, of the ugly duckling. And the story of the ugly duckling and how the little duckling live with the other little birds and felt so sorry for himself because of his feathers all stubby and brown. And the other little birds laughed at him. He felt ashamed. He wasn't really up to very much. But one day, something extraordinary happened. Something amazing. He looked down, and no longer were there the feathers, all stubby and brown, but the splendid white feathers of a swan. And he went off shouting, "I'm a swan. I'm a swan. I'm a swan." But he had been a swan all the time. And brother and sister in Christ, the real difference came for that little duck when he saw in a new and fresh way what he really was. And he stopped despising himself and feeling ashamed of himself, and suddenly realized that by the mercies of God, he was a swan. And I suspect that there are people here this morning, and you may be in danger of going through life feeling that you're an ugly duckling, spiritually speaking. Who am I? I'm a bit of a failure. I made a complete horlicks of that situation. How could I do anything? How could I be a Christian? How could I be a witness? And there's somebody who loves you to talk like that. He loves to rub it in. Big time. And he's a liar. And he's a thief. And his name is Satan. But God is saying, "My dear, dear child, you're not an ugly duckling. You are very precious. I have loved you. I have saved you. I have redeemed you. I have reconciled you. I have adopted you into my family. I have sealed you with my Holy Spirit. You are mine. Now be what you are. Be what you are." Spiritually speaking, in Christ, brother and sister, we are not ugly ducklings. We are children of God. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. It's all of grace. And so I say to you this morning, be what you are. If you're a Christian here this morning, be a Christian. If you're a Christian and going out into a new week to farm the land and fish the sea and work in a school and whatever it is, build a house, do those things and be a Christian as you do them. Be what you are. Yes, he's a farmer. He's a Christian farmer. Yes, he's a fisherman. He's a Christian fisherman. Yes, he's a builder. He's a Christian builder. Yes, she's a house mum. She's a Christian house mum. Yes, she's a teacher. She's a Christian teacher. Be what you are. I finish with this. You know, in this age in which we live, there are a whole lot of people who spend their life trying to steal people's identity. They will go to all sorts of lengths to try to get your identity. And you know, there is a thief about who wants to steal your spiritual identity. Don't allow him. If you're a believer, rejoice in that. And you may go through many struggles, and many of you here this morning may have many different things that you struggle with, and we're not saying much about that this morning. That is a reality. But don't allow that to take away from what you are. You're a believer. You're a Christian man. You're a Christian woman. Be what you are. Count yourself dead to sin. Go out through that door in 15 or 20 minutes' time and say, you know, by the grace of God, I will not just walk into that situation this week like I walked into it last week. I will be different. I will behave differently. I will speak differently. I will deal with those people differently, not in my own strength, but by the grace of God, and not because I think I'm some great guy, because I'm not, but because I claim to be a Christian. And there's enough hypocrisy in this world without me adding to it. So that's the message this morning. Be what you are. If you're a Christian here this morning, stop thinking of yourself as an ugly duckling. You're not. You're a swan. You're a swan. And one day you will fly. One day you will fly. Prepare for that as of now. And stop wallowing about in the swamps, feeling sorry for yourself. By the grace of God, you will fly. And until that day, be what you are. A short prayer, and then we're going to sing. Father, help us this morning, by the grace of Almighty God, if we are saved by grace, to be what we are. Lord, forgive us for the times that we have wallowed like the little ugly duckling, and help us to see ourselves as we really are, children of God, saved by grace, called to count ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. Lord, hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.